Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
I'm so happy to be this Dr. Applewhite, and you have tuned in to the Student to Teacher radio show. And have you ever wondered why we call it the Student to Teacher radio show? I'm sure that I let everybody know why that concept is there. You see, many years ago, I read something from a Middle Eastern philosophy that said that when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And I've taken that a step further into saying when the student is ready, the teacher within appears. Okay? And I've seen it happen. I've seen the manifestation of that right in front of students make a change when they are ready to make a change. And when I say student, it doesn't necessarily mean someone who's in an academic setting. The mistake we make is not understanding that we are all students who become teachers, because if we are willing to learn information, whether it's on a job, training on a job, or whether we're in an academic classroom, or whether it's just a life experience, my friends, we are learning something, and that makes us a student of life. And when we begin to hopefully, we begin to share that information that we have learned, we become teachers. So on this show, the topics that we discuss help us to become better students and better teachers. That is the hope. Praise God. I really, really am so happy to be here this morning and share this message with you, because for years, I've been dealing with students not realizing how powerful they are, that they do have the ability to teach things. So this morning, let's do this. This morning, I want you to stay open to the fact that the people that call in this morning are going to have something to say. They're going to have something to teach us. And that's right, I said us. Dr. Applewhite, I am a student too. That's right. My friends, my students teach me. You teach me. So if you call in to 646-727-3758, that's our call-in number. Let me say it again, 646-727-3758. If you call in, or if you go to our chat room, if you don't feel like going into the video and talking on the phone with me, go into the chat room and discuss some things that will help other people learn what you have possibly learned about this topic today. We're talking about students and veterans discussing emergency sick leave. Interesting subject. Because, 35 years? I'm asking my producer, Melvina, how many years I'm teaching. I'm dating myself here. And I'll tell you, I have seen some tremendous attitudes about being late and being held up in emergency rooms, and how someone treats sick leave when they're employed. New employees with a question in mind: why are you bugging on me? Why are you upset because I'm late? I was in an emergency room. Don't you understand? That kind of attitude. You know, employers and your professor in your college classroom doesn't want to deal with that type of attitude and won't. You'll either be dropped from the class, possibly dropped from the school if you're doing it too many times with too many other professors, and fired. Did you hear me? Fired. Because of attitude. Attitude truly is everything. And when we look at our lives sometimes, we don't realize that there are different ways to look at everything. One way we can look at how we interact with our employers, with our professors at school, with the way we present, not necessarily that we have an attitude of gratitude, we didn't that before, to be grateful for being here, for being alive, for being able to go to work, to do those things, because there's so many people in this world that don't even have that type of opportunity to go to school or go to work, especially those that are hindered by mental illness and learning disabilities and many other physical and mental disabilities, and they are unable to even think about going to school or work. So I expect you to have an attitude of gratitude about that. But there's a different type of attitude that I want you to have. I want you to try to develop this and share, learn it and share it with others. But they won't put them where they're expecting someone to understand their position in life and their emergency things that happen to them. You see, through the years, the students have come to me with issues about the about being late have usually been related to either themselves going to an emergency room, okay, in an emergency room, and or they're with their child and the same situation happens. Of course, many times we get into the automobile breakdown situation, and so there's many, many things that go on that cause students to feel that they have to make an excuse, or should I say reason. Is there a difference between in a reason? Let's think about that for a minute. If you're in an emergency room, I don't see that as an excuse, do you? I see that as a reason why you're not turning up at work or why you're not in your classroom, you're not at the place that you're supposed to be at. But the way you handle it, the attitude you have about that when you return to work or school is going to be the key. You see, employers and colleges, well, educators and employers are in the same business of seeing productivity. They don't get paid from the federal government or from their consumers unless there's production. And so when there's anything that hinders that production, the employer and the school get very, very concerned about the high rate of absenteeism. That's right, my friends. Here's a word I want you to remember, absenteeism. You see, the reports that come back, and see, I'm on both sides here. I'm on the side of the students that come running into class late because of the fact that they've been in a situation, an emergency situation. So I care about that. I have great empathy for that. But I also know that there's a way to present it, okay? And that's where I think the problem lies with people having to drop out and burn out of employment situations. The reports that come back from educational institutions and employers is that the loss of time and wages is astronomical for sick leave and emergency room visits. And it costs employers money. And so that's why there's so much pressure. So I wanted you to understand that standpoint, even though some of you may say right now, well, you know, I mean, they make a lot of money, there's no big deal. You know, what's my little time not being there going to hurt them? But you have to understand, you wanted to be, and you with that door, my contract, I will be in class at 8 a.m., 10 a.m., I will be at 8 a.m. or 10 a.m. or whatever. And what that contract says, whether it's written or not unwritten, you're not supposed to be there. So the attitude that you should have with that is that, okay, when you come in, have the appropriate documentation, have the appropriate reasoning not excuse, reasoning, the reasoning of why you were late to that. Let me share a few things that come up. I mean, so you can use some discernment here, all right? When I talk about employers reporting these wages, I'm talking about the loss of time and wages. I'm talking about a number of things because, I mean, we could group it all together into just illness, and I can give you some figures on that if you want it, but I'm not going to overwhelm you guys with that. I mean, people take off time for funerals and jury duties and court appearances, all kinds of stuff. And, of course, like I said earlier, they may lose weight because of auto problems or child care. That's a big one that comes up. But it's the way you present it. And I hope that by the close of the show, I'm going to be able to pull together everything you're going to hear from other people sharing this morning, and you're going to be able to discern some things about how you handle yourself when you're delayed in getting where you're supposed to be. And I also, by the end of the show, so hang in there with me, we'll be talking about the things that are not excuses, and I'm sure you're going to hear that through some of our callers. Of course, going to job fairs and going to another job interview won't do it, but I've had students actually say that to an instructor, that they had a job interview. That's not acceptable to be excused by student affairs, and certainly not, I don't have to say that about the employer. Incarceration is another issue we run into. Somebody was at a wedding, church, or whatever. So these are things, there's a lot of things that are not accepted, but I believe that it's all in attitude, the way you present yourself. One of the things that we're focused on today that has been coming to our attention within the week is the delay in healthcare when we're talking about going and getting checked, okay? Students are discussing why and how they can get around the ER dilemma. And, of course, this really comes up for many of our veterans, especially those that are handling a work schedule and a school schedule, and they have to go to the ER, go get some health care done. And we want them to, and I get this, by the end of the show, students, we want to learn our time so that we don't land up being the victim of delayed health care. Now, this subject has come up really, really heavy with the Phoenix VA lately, because the Phoenix VA has had some reports about delayed health care. And so what I would like to do is to make sure that, because I use the VA system myself as a veteran, and I have found it, yes, there are sometimes you have to wait longer than usual, but I have found it no different than most emergency rooms around the country. Now, some of you may have some other things to say about that, and I welcome your comments. But one of the things I would like to say is to give some kudos for a moment to the fact that the VA system does work, and I don't want people to become afraid of the fact that they're hearing on the news that there's delayed health care and especially the ER death, the emergency room death, as a result of delayed health care. Because that will cause you to have fear about going in and getting your business taken care of as far as your health care, and that's very important. Even preventive health care. Because when you do that, you avoid that other situation of being late to class because you're in the ER, because there's delayed health care, and feeling so uncomfortable about taking days off, taking sick leave, and that kind of thing. So, anyway, bear with me as we go through our show today. We have some very, very special guests that will be joining us. We have a young lady who's agreed to call in, one of our students has agreed to call in and discuss her journey as a flight attendant and discovering her diagnosis of MS and how she dealt with sick leaves and emergencies and how she had to present herself to her employer. We also have, for our vet-to-vet component, which we always have at the end of the show, the vet-to-vet discussions with Mitch Kavanagh, and we're going to talk about there how veterans in school and work situations deal with their need for urgent or immediate care at VA hospitals or any of any emergency room situation, and their feelings about the reported deaths and healthcare delays. Okay, we have a special guest coming on, Michael Thelen. He's part of the Veterans Helping Veterans organization, and he also is the District 12 commander of the American Legion, and he'll share a positive outlook. So we at White Apple Institute is a sponsor of the show, and the students and staff at White Apple Institute put the show together, and they ask people to come on the show and discuss their stories. And we definitely give kudos to all of the staff at White Apple Institute for doing a great job. And in order to keep this show going and to keep the Institute going, where we offer a lot of emotional support and stipends for students in emergency crisis situations, we need your support. Even a donation of $10 or more will help us keep our radio broadcast and our students with any kind of disability or emotional challenge going to school, keep them reaching their and succeeding in their education and workforce goals. So we certainly appreciate you going to whiteappleinstitute.org and clicking on that donate button, okay? Don't forget that. Click on that donate button. And remember, this show, especially if you're impressed with what you're going to hear in just a few moments, I would like you to take this show and share it with others in your network of friends and people at work, your schoolmates, and share with them what we're going to talk about today. So without further ado, let's welcome a few people online here. And I don't have the names on these monitors as they're calling in. I don't have their names here, so I'm assuming that a lot of people that are on the switchboard are probably in the chat room, and they're writing things, okay? I believe our producer's shaking her head right now saying, yes, that's true. So I'm not going to go through the whole switchboard asking for people, but I am going to pull on one of the speakers for today, and let's see if she's here right now. Hello? This is Dr. Applewhite.
Yes, hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? Good, good. And who is this calling? What's your name? If you would like to share your name, that's fine.
Tiffany Maynard.
Okay, Tiffany, and why are you calling in today? Did you hear about the show?
I did hear about the show. I was actually introduced to the show, so I am very new, and I do thank you for having me today.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, we try to get to everybody that calls in. Tell me something, Tiffany. Tell me a little bit about yourself and what you think about what we're talking about today. We're really focused on how people are handling emergency sick leave situations and how they deal with talking to their employers or their school staff about it so that we don't have a lot of burnout and dropout problems.
Absolutely. A quick introduction about myself is I was medically retired from the Army, Iraq combat veteran, and it was very hard for me to transition on the outside.
Thank you. Thank you.
And
thank you.
I actually do have, which I don't mind sharing, some post-traumatic stress as well as some physical illnesses that are still being worked through the VA system that were combat-related. And being in the workforce, unfortunately, you know, everyone who's can attest to that retirement pay does not keep up your bills and keep you running. So you sometimes have to get into the workforce just to keep your life working conditionally financially. And
yes,
what I found was what led me to be where I am today, because I have been in the workforce since I left the military, since I was medically retired with 17 years in. And I have found, yes, 17 years veteran, and I've found that I had to be very aggressive and utilize the resources to protect myself in the workforce so that one, I didn't lose my job from the periodic tardiness and that I have to take from surgeries and from that were service-connected, as well as more than 2 weeks of time off for treatment. And I had to literally utilize the Wounded Warrior Project, who have been sponsoring me for the past year and a half now, into the workforce with providing sufficient letters, not specifying my condition, but specifying that I am a special disabled veteran who is looking into continuing to staying in the workforce, but only part-time. And I've been fortunate to be in it with an employer right now, whereas in the past it was kind of difficult. Right now, in the security enforcement industry, where they were able to work with all of my absences due to my VA-related disability. Wow. And the key is to finding a really good company that does have, that is very veteran-friendly, that understands the mission of what our warriors go through, even if they haven't deployed, but when they get out of the military, they still have difficulties with transitioning, which I have.
Uh-huh.
And I had to build a lot of work-life skills around that and attend certain life skills trainings through the VA system as well as on the outside in order to learn how to deal with that. And it's still hard. It's still difficult. Like I said, I started working full-time, and because I was with too much anxiety going around and not being able to make my appointments like I should have been, I had to go back to part-time hours just so that I can take care of myself physically and mentally.
Tiffany, are you also going to school too?
I am going to school, yes. I had just completed my bachelor's degree in May of 2013 with University of Phoenix, and I was utilizing my benefits to finish that program, and now I am currently completing my master's degree in criminal mm-hmm. justice analysis through, and I'm currently going to Grand Canyon University.
Are we proud of you? Are we proud of you? Okay.
Thank you so much. A lot of work.
Yes, you're pretty much the ideal candidate, too, because for our services, if there's anything that you ever need from White Apple Institute and can ever help you as you go forward, please let us know. We appreciate that key that you gave us about making sure that you find veteran-friendly employers. But I think that overall, when we talk about people, a person with any type of disability or any type of emotional challenge when we're dealing with looking for a job or keeping a job or going to school. I mean, both go hand in hand, and we have to have a friendly atmosphere. We have to find friendly employers that are willing to, I guess, what I'm trying to say is manipulate around our schedules so that we can take time out for sick leave. And I guess, did I hear in your voice and in what you said, did you have a great attitude when you were presenting your sick leave information to your employer?
I did, actually. They were very open. When they first acknowledged that I was a veteran, I just was very fortunate to have a supervisor who pulled me to the side and said, hey, we understand you're a combat veteran. If there's anything you need or any time that you need, you know, give us ahead of time. We'll work with you because we understand. Those were the exact words.
Right.
I was just blessed and fortunate.
Now, Tiffany, I want you to hold on the line because there's a few other people that have some things to say, and some of them may have not had the great experiences that you've had with having an employer like that, and still hanging in there. So I'm really, really, really proud of them for doing that. I'm going to bring in our co-producer for the Vet to Vet segment of the show, Mitchell. Mitchell, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good morning, Dr. Applewhite. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Good morning.
I just like to...
You hear Tiffany?
Yes, I am proud of Tiffany, and thank you for your service. And along with Tiffany and other vets, I just want them to know that when I was in steel to this day... I'm legally blind, so I guess you would not want me on the freeway driving. My wife has to take me to all my appointments. And for employers, the federal government has provided FMLA, which is paperwork that you could share with your employer, and they cannot discriminate for you taking time off to spend with a family member or a loved one or even yourself for medical situations. And that is the one thing that I wanted to put out there. And the other is that when I was going to school, it was April 15th, and my son was to be born on April 15th, which was a midterm exam for me. And I had a professor who did not want me to take time off for my son being born. So as Dr. Applewhite was saying, I took the proper procedures. I went to the dean and explained that this is not an excuse. This is a reason. And the professor said, well, it's life or death. It's got to be a life or death situation. And I explained to the dean that it is life. And I don't know if any woman that's had or given birth would not want their loved one or spouse or in the room with them when they're giving birth. And like Dr. Applewhite was saying, there are ways that you could go about as students your attitude, presenting the way you approach things.
Yes.
I had a very good, as a returning student, I was older. And a lot of these kids that's going to school now were a lot younger than me. So I made sure, and I will stress this to all veterans that are returning students, get a personal relationship with your professor. Let them know what your needs are, what you cannot do, what your weaknesses are. And I have found that most professors are so in tune with what you're saying, because when I did it, professors were saying, you're the first student that ever come to me and talk to me like this. You know,
yeah,
so what I'm saying is you have to be proactive in your own defense, because you are coming into an environment that no one knows you. You have to let them know who you are and what your expectations are and what your limitations are. I mean, how is a professor supposed to not give you a zero if he doesn't know that you're a disabled veteran?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, I mean, Mitch, and it's not even, you know, we focus a lot because we're all veterans. I'm a veteran, you're a veteran, and Tiffany, we're focused on the veteran issue. But, you know, one of the things that's so important is that the message that we're giving this morning is applicable to everyone, especially if you have a condition that causes a dis in your ability at any given time, or whether it's a permanent dis in one of your abilities. And we ask always that people look at what they are capable of doing. And I, one of the things I really appreciate about what Tiffany said too is that when she went into the situation, she worked full time. And, you know, many students want to do that. They want to go full time work, full time school. And until they realize, uh-oh, my body is writing, what is it, my mind is writing a check my body can't cash, okay?
Oh,
is that a good way to put it?
That is a great way to put it, because I was putting myself back in military uniform when I was back full-time, trying to suck it up and drive on, and not realizing I was tiring myself out.
You'd be surprised at how many people, as veterans, we have our own way of sucking up stuff, you know, and going forward, no pain, no gain, you know what I mean, that kind of attitude. But you'd be surprised how much that attitude is a carryover from our civilian life, too, you know, that all people that are rolling up their sleeves to go to college, and I'm telling you, I mean, whether they're blind, deaf, have very outward physical disabilities or invisible disabilities, handling family situations, handling work schedules, and they still keep going forward. But the problem happens when we don't take care of ourselves. And I know both of you have to agree with me that preventive care is important, okay, making sure we eat properly, we take care of our minds. If we're dealing with PTSD, and Tiffany, I hope you come back because we're going to be doing some shows on PTSD and MST among women veterans, military sexual trauma.
I would love to come back, yes.
Oh, wonderful. Because all of those things play a major part in how we interact with others, especially when, you know, and I'm just going to relate to one of my students who called one night and said, you know, I had a bad night of not just nightmares all night long. It's so hard for me to get up and go to class. And ironically, a midterm exam coming. The nightmares, of course, related to the PTSD issues. You know, that's any of those times when you
during
really
those times that a lot of stress comes up.
That's right.
It's one of those times that students feel that extra amount of stress, and even though it's not combat-related, even though it's not dealing with that same type of stressful environment, the stress level is identical. It's just changed its format. And the other thing that I wanted to bring up is when we were talking about the health care is that waiting in emergency rooms and stuff. A lot of veterans are not taking advantage of the programs that the VA has set up.
I would
encourage any veteran that do not have a primary care physician that is your direct advocate for preventive care. It is your best solution for avoiding long ER visits. And if you do have to go to the ER, they have already sent all your information. You are already triaged before you get there. And you don't have to wait as long. So there are a lot of ways to go about doing things. And I advocate that any vet that has a computer, if you don't have a vet-to-vet, if you don't have My Healthy Vet on your computer, put that on there because it is a great way to communicate with your doctor. They answer your emails within 48 hours, and usually you can avoid a medical emergency room visit because they will intercede before you have to get there. So these are ways that all of our vets could go about cutting down waiting time, and you have to be proactive. I'll tell any vet any day of the week, your body talks to you. It lets you know exactly what's wrong. And if you wait, you are putting yourself in jeopardy. So when you feel these things, you go. If you can't, you know how hard it is to call in to get an appointment. If you got the My Healthy Vet on your computer, if you don't know how to get there, go to 602-277-5551 and ask to speak to Victoria. She is the one that can set you up with My Healthy Vet at the VA hospital.
Okay. Now that's a Phoenix number. For those of you who are
that's
out
the
of
Phoenix
state,
number.
There is a local VA number. And if you call, if you contact White Apple Institute at 480-471-8082, or just go to our website and click the Contact Us form, we will make sure that we connect you with the appropriate resource on that, okay? So thank you so much. Miss, you gave some great information. And before we go any further on the veteran issue, because I believe that our special guest this morning, Michael Fellin from American Legion, is definitely awaiting his introduction. And so with what I'd like to do before I do that is I want to just balance out everything and make sure that the things that we're saying are applicable to every student, especially student veterans. And student veterans are still veterans that are going to school, and especially those with disabilities that are rolling up their sleeves and getting things done. We want to make sure that the same message goes out, whether you're veteran or non-veteran. And so that's why, without further ado, I want to bring in a young lady who's going to share with us her journey as a flight attendant, finding out a diagnosis and having to develop a pretty much a scenario, a script, about how she was going to deal with her employers and going to school to finish her degree. Okay, are you there, Laura?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Thank you for contacting White Apple Institute and agreeing to be part of what we're trying to do here to get a message out. I remember hearing your story when we met, and I wanted you so badly to come on the show and just share with others the journey that you've made and give you some kudos, okay? Tell us a little bit about, we have a short time period here, about 5 minutes, that we need to kind of consolidate everything that, all the good things that you want to say, and then allow comments back. So starting with your job, your first job, as an administrative assistant, you told us, moving into
yes.
flight attendant and finding out the diagnosis. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I will. Actually, I started out in travel. I was a travel agent for a number of years, and then I wanted to go to school for nursing. So I then became an administrative assistant at a major corporation in Phoenix, actually. And I've always had some issues as far as health are concerned from the time I was little. And I was kind of brought up where, you're not sick. You don't know what sick is. You don't know how bad feeling is. So, you know, it was kind of pushed aside when I was little. That's old school, you know, that's just what happened. Well, as I got older, in my 20s, it got to worse. And so there were times when I couldn't get up in the morning, pain, horrible pain, and I'd go to the doctor, and they finally gave me this diagnosis of fibromyalgia. And so I started to try to eat right, take care of myself. It didn't get any better. And so it finally got towards where I would have to go on FMLA a few times. You know, every few months,
Just for a second here. Tiffany, hold on just a moment. I want to make sure that everyone's familiar with the term you just used. FMLA is Family
yes.
Medical Leave as Absence, okay? And so that's something that's available to most people, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. So you just fill out the paperwork. Yeah, fill out the paperwork, human resources. Then you can go on that. So I'd be on it for about a month, and I would be, you know, you don't get paid, you know, so you don't like to stay on it. And I would just get myself better enough so that I could go back to work. But then the grind of the work would start again, and I would have to go on it again because it was no one really knew what the problem was. Well, in about 2007, right before that, I switched jobs because it was getting so difficult. And a lot of times what I would do was I would work up until I couldn't work anymore, and then I would go to another job that I thought might be less stressful because I wasn't getting that I had a sickness. I wasn't getting that. I just thought, if I just do this differently, if I just eat this differently, if I, you know, exercise like this, then I'm going to, because that's what the doctors were telling me. Well, I got a job as a flight attendant and thought it would be a little bit easier because I would be home, you know, majority of the week and out for about, you know, 3 or 4 days out of the week. Well, it got worse. And I had to go. It got much worse.
Tiffany, that sounds like such a big jump from being an administrative assistant and then, you know, not knowing exactly what were your symptoms, tiredness, fatigue, I assume.
Yeah, extreme fatigue, and I had pain that was shooting, you know, from my back over to my head and back again, and it just kind of, what happened was I thought getting up every day was in working an 8-hour day was just really hard and getting to me. And I thought, well, flight attendants, you know, if I'm moving around, you know, the day will go by fast. And they tell you you're going to work 80 hours a month, but it ends up being flight hours. They don't really explain that at the very beginning, you know. So, and I'm not talking about the flight industry or anything at all. It's just lingo that you get into something and you don't really understand totally. I just wanted time to be able to finish my degree so that I could go into doing what I really wanted to do. And I thought that would be a way of being able to do it. But I enjoyed it. Totally, I did it a year. Was able to travel places, meet people. You know, I really enjoyed it because I consider myself a student of the world, too. I really like learning new things, you know, introducing new people. I love that. But it started to get really worse, and I realized then that I started to, on my layovers, I would be sleeping right up until it was time for me to get on the plane. Then I'd be on the plane just hurting, and I was like, this is just really not right. So I had to go on FMLA after a year on this.
And let me ask you this. At this time of your life, you're figuring out something is definitely really wrong, and your doctors are not able to find out what was really wrong. And so, I mean, there's many, many students that fall into that category. But your body was telling you something, and now at this point, you're figuring out you've got to stop. And what I'd like to say, what I'd like to hear a message from you, the key to how you were able to keep your job as long as you did, and how did you move around documenting? Is documentation a key? Is attitude a key? Are all those things that I talked about important? Can you share that with our audience?
Absolutely. I was determined that even though I didn't feel well, I kind of had a saying, and it may not be true, you know, but it just what kept me. I'd rather, it's better to look good than to feel good, because I felt like there was no way that I could do anything about the way that I was feeling. But I could, like, you know, play it off, you know. If I got dressed every day and wore bright clothes and, you know, made sure I had makeup on and smiled, even though I felt like I was going to die, I felt like then maybe my body would follow my attitude, you know. So that's what kept me going all those years. That's what I did. And it started to get harder and harder to do that. So I went on FMLA for the last time, and I really felt bad because I'd only been on my job for about a year doing the flight attendant. And it also was harder because I was taking online courses, and I remember taking this class and just could not even read through the information that made any sense. And I started to get really nervous about what was wrong. And I kept going to the doctors and going to the doctors, and they would give me this medication and give me that medication, tell me it was in my head, tell me, you know, you need to go see a psychologist, which I did all of that. And it just didn't get any better. So in 2007, I finally decided I had to something. I needed an answer, and I went to the doctor and said, "I'm not leaving. You've got to really believe that something is wrong." I just had this impending sense of doom. He sent me to a specialist who told me he didn't have time for me. Come back in 6 weeks. And I remember specifically telling him, "I don't have 6 weeks. I really think something is wrong." He said, "Well, that's all I can do. I'm busy. My schedule is booked and stuff." So I went home, and the next week on Thursday, I'll never forget, I woke up and my legs did not work. Did not work at all. And I'm, like, in bed, couldn't get out. And I started laughing. I called my best friend and said, "Guess what?" Because I've been keeping, you know, my friends appraised of the, I called it my story. You know, "Guess what? Now this is going on." Because I couldn't believe it. And she got me to get to the emergency room, which I was so happy. I finally went to an emergency room, Barrows, who the doctor recognized that something was wrong, because I was dragging myself in, almost crawling. All this time, you're sick, you think it's all in your head. So I didn't want to call an ambulance, and they get there, and then all of a sudden it's gone, and no one can see that something is wrong, and, you know, then I'm looking crazy, and that's happened before. So I just always did everything I could not to bother anybody. And when I got there, he said, "We're admitting you right away," which I was shocked. He got control of the pain, and the next day 5 neurologists walked in, and they said, "You have what's called transverse myelitis. It's a virus that attacks your spinal cord." And he said, "And also, did you know you have MS? He said, "And you've had it since you were probably a teenager." He said, I'm surprised that you have functioned as well as you have, the way that you are. And he said, if I hadn't come in when I did, I would, the next day I'd probably be a quadriplegic on a ventilator, and after that I would have been dead. So he said, you came
wow.
in perfect. So I still have, yeah.
What a journey that was. And I think that, in closure of your story, at least for this morning, what I'd like you to share as a lesson before our special guest, Michael Fellin, comes on, is what you feel is the most important thing that you did in dealing with your sick leave, dealing with talking to employers. And I think you mentioned to me the key was when you document. Would you just elaborate a little bit on that so our listeners can hear that great message from you?
I kept track of everything that I did, medication going back years. I remembered things that they had tried that didn't work. And also when you go in to see a doctor or doing paperwork, you have to be responsible and be an advocate for yourself. You have to make sure that the paperwork is done correctly, that it's filed right. I mean, I filed for my own disability, and I did it by writing out for the last 10 years what I had done, you know, what my bad days are like, what medications, what therapies, what doctors. You have to it took me 2 weeks to write out the application because I wanted to make sure they understood everything. And I also emphasized also the depression part of it, the anxiety part of it. No one who is sick, who has a chronic condition, is free of those. And a lot of people just
That's
focus
right.
on the physical, and they're not looking at, you know, how that damages your thinking and how your feelings are. And so I put all of that in, and I was able to get disability on the first try, which a lot of people say was different. I, you know, yeah, and I've also helped other people get it as well.
Yeah. Thank you, Lauren. As a matter of fact, like I said, I want to give you some kudos for any help that you can give us and even our veterans, because the bottom line is that when you're going to school, and especially if you're going to school and work at the same time, you need to keep the appropriate documentation. And this is, I think, a major problem. Mitch, would you agree with me that when we're talking about a lot of our veterans even applying for benefits is that they don't have the appropriate documentation? Isn't that true?
I find that to be absolutely positively true. And anytime I speak to a vet that's searching for that's getting ready to file a claim, I always tell them you got to have your documentation. And a lot of them tell me, well, it's all with the VA. Well, it's up to you to get all of that documentation when you get ready to present your case. You have to have that. And what our last call was speaking of is the same thing I did. I documented everything because my pain was so bad, I needed to write it down, dates, every doctor, every therapist, every medication that they have put me through. When I filed for my disability claim, I did it myself also. So that's why I'm an advocate and really try to help people that are trying to get their claim through, because I've been through that and I know some of the things that will expedite your case, because you have to be proactive. Well, no one else knows you. They are ignorant to who you are. You have to bring
right.
it up and let them know exactly who you are, exactly what your pain levels are. Look at this documentation. It goes back, like she was saying, 10 years. And I did the same thing. And I would also like to say that you have a primary care physician, and they document everything also if you're in the VA. If you're in the private sector, they document everything. You and if you ask for a copy, they will be more than glad to give it to you. And this is for your benefit.
That's some really good advice.
It's
very good advice. Let's move on.
To make your own case.
That's right. You got to have your own case. Thank you so much, Mitch. Without further ado, we want to bring in and get some our undivided attention, Michael Fellin, our District 12 commander. for the American Legion. And I hope that in closure to today's show, within the next 10 minutes, that he can give us a real positive outlook about using these problems. But if you do have to take sick leave, if you do have to go on a disability claim, that you, if you're having challenges with that, contact some of the people you're hearing today on the show. Lauren is going to join us at White Apple Institute, hopefully doing some volunteer work. And you've got Mitch here and the Vet-to-Vet program, and you can reach him. He's a wonderful businessman. He's a sculptor also, for you listeners out there. And he has his own website. Mitch, what's that website?
You could find it either on Facebook, or you can go to MitchellCavanaughWoodSculptures.com.
All right. Wonderful, wonderful. So we want to make sure that we utilize your services, and you're available through WhiteAppleInstitute.org. Make sure that you keep your donations coming in for us to keep our show going. And without further ado, let's get Michael Thelen on. Michael, are you there? Hold on just a moment, Michael. Let's make sure that I've got you totally on the switchboard. Hi, good morning. This is Dr. Applewhite.
Good morning, Dr. Applewhite. Mitch, Mitch, thank you for having me on the show, and thank you both and Tiffany for your service.
Thank you, sir.
I'm a Vietnam vet. As far as the VA is concerned, I think they're doing an excellent job. I know sometimes people fall through the cracks, but a lot of it is, like Mitch said, you have to be proactive. You have to have your documentation. The doctor, when I filed for my disability, it was like 2006, and I started really having bad problems in 2002. I had a couple major heart attacks and couldn't work anymore, and I got through Social Security, and it went right through, which surprised me, like the other lady said. You know, everybody says, oh, it takes so long and everything else. It took me 3 months, and which came through. My VA disability came through. I became 100% in 2010, but they had paid me since 2006 when I first filed. And I've had four major surgeries through them, and from them I just got through with cancer. But I went to MD Anderson. They sent me, they said I could go anywhere I wanted to, and they paid for it. So I had excellent care there. But for
you
these
found
veterans,
the system, Michael, let me ask you a question. You found the VA system it was good for you. It helped you.
Yeah. I have had to wait sometimes when I was in, the ER, but you have to understand, when you're in the ER, it's a triage situation that they take the most critical first. If you're there for an earache or something like that, you're going to be seen when you can be seen. But if you got some guy there with half his arm hanging off, or he's having a heart attack, they're going to be seen first.
Absolutely.
Because it's more critical.
I think that we miss that. I think a lot of people miss that. I think that when I hear a lot of students coming in and saying, well, my employer got pissed at me because I said, I was at the ER and I got delayed, or, I need some sick leave time, and they want all the day-gone documentation. And they get very upset about the documentation that's needed for the employer. The employer needs something that says that you're going to be out of work, or you were out of work because you were at ER. Why do you think that that we seem to overlook that fact, okay, especially in our veteran population?
A lot of it is that people, sometimes use an ER for the primary care doctor. That's not what an ER is for. And the ER is supposed to be for an emergency, a life-threatening emergency.
Yes, good point.
And a lot of these people, they don't have insurance or they don't have a doctor, and so they use the ER as a primary care. But a lot of times it's cheaper if they have insurance, or they can go on access or something like that. But that's not the way to use it. They misuse what the system is. And there's times in the VA, yes, that you have to wait. You have an appointment, And it's just like yesterday, I had a 1:15 appointment. They saw me at 1:30. Sometimes it takes longer,
mm-hmm.
but most of the time they are right on time. I've had one instance that they actually, it took 2 or 3 hours, but they had one of their employees got killed on the freeway in an accident. And it happened to be in that
mm-hmm.
department, and everybody was upset about it, which emotionally you can understand. You know, anybody that's associated with you, yes, you have to deal with that emotion, and it's kind of hard to deal with others at that time. But as far as for, like, what Mitch is saying about, pardon?
Michael, a lot of employers, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay, Michael? Yeah.
Yes.
Lot of employers, even if they're veteran-friendly, as Tiffany was bringing out earlier, you know, there's an extent. There's a limitation, okay? Like the young lady was talking about, the flight attendant, you know, how many times do you go on FMLA or you ask for extended time and benefits? How often can you do that? You know what I mean? And so without further ado, I do have an employer. He said, I don't know if he's going to want to discuss anything about his company, but I do want to bring him on, and I want him to share his question with you. That's probably all we're going to have time for on the switchboard this morning. Sorry, I'm not going to be able to get to everybody. But do I have a caller here, the 290? Hello?
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Applewhite. This is Jim. I'd like to make a couple of comments about your show, and I have two or three questions I would like to ask. And I'll start out by saying I salute all the veterans that are on the program this morning, all the veterans everywhere. I'm also a Vietnam veteran. I employ about 20 people. I try to hire as many students and veterans as I can. So my questions are this. I'm in the business of helping people, and I want to know how I can help my employees be better employees by being better organized so I don't have to deal with the lost time of them going to the emergency room. I don't like to deal with that because I have a schedule to meet and to try to get the work done, but I have a special place in my heart for veterans and disabled students.
Right.
So can you give me some idea of how I can help my employees deal with this situation?
Well, sir, one of the things I hope that you got from the few people that were on this morning is that attitude is very important. And these are people that have gone through tremendous things and still had a great attitude about presenting their situation, because everybody's not going to understand why you need sick leave or why you were in the ER. And I think too much not making excuses, that we have true reasons, and making up for time. So I hope in some way that we'll be able to at least open up your mind to the fact that there are some really good employees out there and good students that have disabilities, that have kinds of issues that they're going through, and they can present themselves with a good attitude so that they can maintain their job. So I really appreciate you calling in and making that statement. Michael, you have a response for the gentleman?
I would like to.
You have less than a minute left here on the show. So.
I would just like to say that there is one way that he can deal with his employees, that there is a thing called medicine on wheels, and it's an RV that comes around. You'd have to schedule, but you can schedule all of your employees to be seen like, and have that scheduled on a regular basis so that you can have some preventative care that would help you in that situation.
Great. What a great idea. And Mitch, we're running out of time here, but that's a great idea. And sir, if you'd like to contact us at whiteappleinstitute.org, we will refer you to a consultant that can help you more with understanding those particular issues. So we thank all of you this morning for being part of the Student to Teacher Radio Show and your support, your donations, and we hope that you send this show out as a student and teacher to other people so that they can learn and share this information. God bless all of you, and we'll close now with some quiet music from Wes Ricks, and we certainly appreciate Nazim Rashid's music opening up our show. Thank you so much for calling, and thank you, Michael. Michael Dellen, American Legion. We'd like to have you on again for our best friend this time.
Yeah.
And Tiffany, thank you very much for your contribution.
Thank you.
And Lauren, thank you for calling in.
Dr. Amaway, you still there?
Yes.
The one thing
I didn't get to mention,
you might mention on another show, is to help the veterans out there. We have service officers at all the veteran service organizations, VFW, American Legion, DAV, that will help these people file their paperwork and make sure that they have the necessary documentation.
They can go
to any of these organizations and do this.
Will you be willing to come back on the show again, sir?
Yes, I would.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll be looking forward to you on the Best of Best discussion. Thank you so much.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you.
Peace.